We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7 in our Bibles. Matthew chapter 7, if you want to turn there. And we have been working through a series I have titled, The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached. And this is not my sermon, this is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Jesus actually gave a sermon to his disciples, and it's recorded in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 in our Bibles. And he has some very specific things to say to his people, to his believers, to his disciples. And so we have been breaking down this sermon and looking at it closely and taking it one bite at a time, trying to really listen and think through all that Jesus has asked us to do. You know, the human race has been running around messing everything up for thousands of years, haven't we? We are evolving. We are excelling. Look at us. We have iPhones. You know, we can flying cars and and we can do this and that, and that's great. But why are we not been able to get beyond the morality problems, the issues amongst people, the sin issues that just never seem to go away? Well, we know that started all the way back at the beginning of time, all the way back in the Garden of Eden. Man sinned against God and it infected the whole human race. And now humans have this desire to do what is wrong. And Jesus came down to the earth for one reason. God sent his son down to the earth to save the human race from themselves, from their own sin, to be brought back into a relationship with God so that we can start living in the way God created for us to live. And what is that? Jesus says it's very simple. You're like, there's like over 600 commands I got to try to follow. No. Jesus says, let me sum it all up for you. Would you just simply love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and just simply love each other? On these two commands, the entire law hinges. Jesus is teaching us, his disciples, here in this sermon, what it looks like to live out the way that he has designed life. We Christians are to be that display to the world. We are to be waving our hands to the world. Listen, I'm desperately in need just like you are. And I want to let you know, I found the source. I found where the water's at. I know where the bread is. Come and eat. Come and drink. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is what we need. And that is what the Christian life is supposed to be. Let your light so shine before men and women, they would see your good works and they would glorify your Father who is in heaven. They would come into a relationship with him. That's what Jesus is ultimately pointing back to in this sermon. It's his sermon. It's the greatest sermon ever preached. How about a little story before we dive into some heavy text? Heard of a proud and confident genius that makes a bet with an idiot. This guy is dumber than a box of rocks. This genius is like, I'm going to get him good. So the genius says, hey, idiot, every question I ask you, he didn't call him an idiot, he probably called him by his name because that would have, you know, messed everything up. But he says, every question I ask you that you don't know the answer to, you have to give me $5, okay? And if you ask me a question that I can't answer of yours, I'll give you $5,000, right? The idiot says, okay. The genius then asks, how many continents are there in the world? And the idiot doesn't know, and so there he goes. He reaches in his pocket, and he pulls out $5. The idiot says, now, let me ask you a question and to the genius. And he says, what animal stands with two legs but sleeps with three? The genius tries and searches very hard for the answer, but he can't figure it out, and so he has to give him $5,000 right there, hands it over to him. The genius says, man, I lost. He's like, idiot, you know, so what's the answer to your question? The idiot pulls out $5 and gives it to him. The idiot didn't know the answer to his own question, so he didn't give him $5. But he gained $4,995, you see. Okay, this one's easier. All right, here we go. In a Catholic school cafeteria, a nun places a note in front of a pile of apples And the note reads, "Only take one. God is watching." You know, because the kids are taking too many apples. Further down the line is a pile of cookies. And a little boy makes his own note, and he puts it there in front of the cookies. He says, "Take all you want. God is watching the apples." God is watching the apples. The Lord is watching all of us, isn't he? He's got his eyes on everything, doesn't he? He really does. And you know, this message that we talked about a few weeks ago, "If God's not worried, why are you?" has really helped in the midst of a lot of the turmoil that's been happening in our world. I'm really excited about our text today because I believe it holds the answers to our souls. It holds the answers to what needs to happen in every human being and what needs to happen in every people and what needs to happen in every nation. It's found right here in our text. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us your truth and speaking into our lives what we need to be doing. Let's take a look at the text. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 7. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? Oh, how we need these words. Legacy, how we need these words. Jesus says, disciples, Christians, listen up. Jesus says to us, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to one who knocks it will be open. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? And if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?" Let's pray again, Father. Lord, we come knocking on your door now, asking that you would show us. Lord, I'm not smart enough or wise enough to speak to every person in this room, but you are. You can minister in all areas that each of us are working out. And so I pray now, Lord, that you would work like only you can. Holy Spirit, would you show up in this place? Change us. Convict us, encourage us, build us, move us forward in our walks with you, that we would be a people who bring true change, the right change, in this city, in this nation. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Church, do you remember our context last week of what we had just been talking about for 2 weeks? A message titled, "Why Are You Judging Me?" Why are you judging me? Remember? We looked at this understanding where Jesus says, "Condemn not, and you will not be condemned." Don't tell people they're going to hell. Be careful, you're not the final judge. He takes it one step further and he says, as you judge people, the judgment that you pass on others will actually be passed on you. The judgment you used will be used on you. The ruler and measuring stick that you use will be used on you as well. As you measured, Jesus says, it will be measured, excuse me, to you. Then he goes on to say, if you see a speck in your brother's eye, excuse me, that's water. If you see a speck in your brother's eye, be careful to try and take it out. Make sure you don't have a plank or a telephone pole in your own eye. Jesus is getting at, hey, make sure you examine yourself first before you go around judging everyone else. That's the context. That's the opening of the chapter. Then he transitions from that statement to, ask and it will be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened. What is he saying? Some like to argue that these have no correlation. Jesus is just rattling off these completely separate topics. Like he just says something and like, okay, check, next topic. Let's talk about something else. Oh no. Jesus is speaking to the crowd and he is building upon his points and he is speaking to the people. It all makes sense. There is a purpose. When we reflect on passages like these, we become very convicted and slightly discouraged, thinking, look at the planks in my eye. Look at all of them. There isn't one, there's like 50. How could I ever even speak into somebody else's life? Can God even use me? look at my sin and the problems in my life. We can be very discouraged by such enlightening passages as these. Convicted, convicted, convicted. The same judgment I use will be used on me? That's scary. I'm in big trouble. How will I ever grow in my walk with the Lord? Some of us are thinking. Maybe you see the continual sin in your life and each week you come and you're like, geez, am I ever going to move forward in my walk with the Lord? Jesus knows what he just said and he knows how convicting it is and he knows what he does to his people. So he transitions from that word to, listen, don't worry, hold on, keep asking. Keep seeking, keep knocking, these doors will be opened. Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened. For everyone who receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. We're all asking for something, aren't we? We're all asking, seeking, and knocking in our lives for something. We're knocking on someone's door. We're all searching for something, aren't we? Just look at your own life. What is the next thing you're waiting for? What are you looking for? What are you desiring? What are you seeking after? Isn't it so interesting how we always got something on the list? We always got that next thing. I like using the Amazon Prime illustration. You know what I mean? Like, yes, I got to use Prime, you know, because that means two-day shipping free. It's going to show up in 2 days, you know, and you made that purchase and you're waiting for it. You can't wait for it to come. You even get a little ticked because it was supposed to be here by 8 p.m. that night, and it didn't come at 8 p.m., and they delivered it the next morning. You're like, no, I said 2 days, not 2.5 days. Where's my package? You're calling Amazon. We always got something on the list, but then when that package arrives, what do? On to the next thing. Yeah, it's not that big of a deal. Oh, cool, open up the package, take a look at it. Okay, on to the next thing. And I use something as small as an Amazon package, but we are all pursuing something, are we not? And we always think that when I get that thing, then everything is going to be good. Once I get that raise, once I get this piece of life in order, once this thing works out for us, once I get that job, once this thing happens in life, then everything is going to work out. The problem is that is not what we need. That's not it. We are asking and seeking and knocking for all kinds of things. What's behind door number one? What's behind door number two? We have all of these prizes that we want and desire, and we believe with all of our hearts that once we get those things, we're going to be completely satisfied. Right? J.D. Rockefeller, the richest man to ever walk the earth, when asked how much money is enough, he was quoted as saying, just one more dollar. One more dollar. That's enough. It's never enough, isn't it? We got the Hollywood Hills backed up against us right here. And we can look into the eyes of the rich and famous and see that it is never enough. It's never enough. And it's never going to be enough. All the asking and seeking and knocking in our lives may not be the best if we are seeking and asking and knocking in the wrong direction. Are you knocking on the right door? Forgot to tell you, the title of the message is Go Knock on God's Door. Go knock on God's door. Go to Him. Jesus tells us to keep knocking. Be persistent in asking. For the one who asks will receive, and the one who seeks will find, and the one who knocks it will be open. Many like to take this verse and use it to mean, whatever I ask from God, he will give it to me, right? And we say, keep on asking, brother. The Lord's going to deliver that Ferrari soon. I know it. Right? The Lord will give it, but not so. We have to understand what Jesus is telling us to ask for. Is he saying just ask for anything and everything you want and you'll have it? No. We take that verse out of context all the time. Keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. You're going to get it. That's going to come forth for you. Really? Are we helping Christianity in doing that? Is that what this verse is claiming? Does that work? This verse would be lying to us if this actually was working. It doesn't work. It doesn't seem to be the context that we can just ask whatever we want and it will be given. Do we get to name and claim things, as maybe you've heard? Just name it and claim it. Just name it and claim it, man. All that you want, all that you need in Christ is yours. Hold on. Is that actually the best thing for you? We have to be careful not to step into a prosperity gospel. And this is why people get sucked into this. And let me tell you why it's dangerous. Believing that they can earn the blessings of God with enough prayer and enough tithing and enough seed sowing, they can get whatever they want from God. But it's not true. The problem is when they do that, you have that old woman, man, sitting there who just giving and giving and praying, believing this crazy preacher. And she gives so much, and then all of a sudden God doesn't show up and doesn't do that thing that she's been praying or seeking or longing after. I see this happen in the church all the time. I did this for God, and he didn't do this for me. Huh? Is there some contract that you know about that I don't? You get to demand things from the Almighty, and he just shows up and delivers like he's some genie or some your butler or something? I thought he was God, and you were his creation. Sad thing is I see people in the church do this, seeking, knocking, asking, doing all of these things. They don't get the blessing, and they say, God didn't show up for me. I tried that Jesus thing. Doesn't work. Keep on praying for whatever you're praying for, because it's not going to work. I already tried that. How can we be demanding things from the Lord? That verse is completely out of context, and that's not what it's saying. That's not what Jesus is saying. We should be thankful God does not give us everything we ask for. Did you know that? Can you imagine? What if God said yes to every single prayer? Yes, 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 yes. Every single prayer. Can you imagine? What if you gave your children every single thing they wanted and you never said no? You just keep giving them everything that candy, 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 right? I mean, they just want it. Every toy, every, can you imagine if you gave them everything? They would destroy themselves. When God says no, is that a good thing? It's the best thing. It's the best thing. Number one thing, if you're taking notes today, point number one is, what do we really need? We've got to identify this first, or we don't know what to ask for. What do we need? We can't go asking, seeking, and knocking. I almost put asking, seeking, knocking together. It was like neeking or something like that. I made a word there. What do we really need? Listen, point number one, if you can't see what you really need, you will ask for the wrong things. Okay? The real problem with humans is that we have a sin-infected nature. We are born into sin. We're born to do wrong. We're created with problems. We're bad to the bone, bad to the bone. We really are bad, straight to the bone. Right? What do you have to teach a child to do, right or wrong? You have to teach them to do right, because all they do is wrong, and you have to teach them to stop doing that. We are actually born into sin. The human race is not all good. I should say no human being on the earth is good. The world tries to teach us that and tries to tell us that. But if everyone is good, there is no problem with human beings, and we don't need to fix the human race. So we got to stop letting our society preach that and teach that. The human race is actually completely bad, evil, and in sin. And that's why everyone has been doing wrong for thousands of years and it doesn't get fixed. How can every generation repeat the same sins? We should learn. We should be evolving out of this thing. It's not going to happen because we are all born into sin. This is the doctrine of sin. It's hamartiology. It's the study of sin. It deals with how sin originated, how it affects humanity, what it will result in after death. Hamartia is the word to miss the mark in the Greek. To miss the mark. It's like an archer pulling back his bow and firing and missing the bullseye. That's what it means to sin against God. The Word of God tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All people have sinned. Even the most wonderful, good people have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. They are bad as well. They look really good, I know. But they have sin problems as well, just like everyone else. Hamartiology then explains why we miss the mark, how we miss the mark, and the consequences of missing the mark. 1 John 3:4 says, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness, or sin is breaking God's commands. Here is the standard, what God has commanded. When we break his commands, we have missed the mark, and we have sinned against God. Okay? Romans 5:12 tells us that just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. So through Adam, through the fall in the garden, sin infected the entire human race. And yes, we all have a sin problem. Okay? But Romans 6:23 says this, the wages of sin is death. Because all have sinned, all will now die. Isn't that interesting? Another problem with the human race is that we can't get away from is that we all die. You can't just fix that. How do you fix that? I am never going to die. I promise you that. No, you will die. There's this amazing statistic. One out of every one person dies. Right? No one gets away from that. Death respects nobody. Okay? Except for one person. Jesus. There is one human being, Almighty God, who walked the earth and conquered death. He was put into the grave, yet he rose from the dead. What if that's really true? That means that he has the answer to death. He has the answer to sin. He conquered the grave and resurrection. No religious guru, no great thinker, no one has conquered death and sin. Jesus is the only one who has done it. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The free gift to the human race to take care of sin is Jesus Christ and the work he did on the cross. That is the medicine. Sin is our disease, and Jesus is our healing. Let me say that again. Sin is our disease in the human race, and Jesus Christ is our healing. He is the only thing that can heal the human heart. So what do we really need, church? Legacy, what do you need? What do you really need? To be happy? To be content? To be joyful? To be restful? To be peaceful? To be loving people? To not be sad? To never be satisfied? To not be discouraged? To not be stressed out? To not be depressed? To not be hateful towards other people? The answer is a relationship with Jesus. And you say, I have that. You need a deeper relationship with Jesus. That is the remedy for the human race. And that is the remedy for your life. When you come into relationship with someone who maybe has advanced in certain areas, you change. Did you know that? Think about it. You come into contact with a personal trainer. What happens to you? You build a relationship with a personal trainer. You're paying a fee. They start working out with you. They start teaching you. Your body starts to change. You actually start to change in that relationship. You come into contact with somebody who's good with money and business and you're not. They sit you down and they teach you what it looks like to manage your finances. Guess what? You came in contact with somebody who's really good at this, and it starts to change your life. You see that? You come in contact with somebody who's happy and cheerful all the time. You ever meet those people? They're just always happy. They're just fun to be around. They're just always uplifting. And all of a sudden, you start realizing maybe how negative you are, how much of a downer you are sometimes. It's like, man, I kind of want to change that. I like being around this kind of person. And they actually work that change into you as you're around them. Someone you're deeply in love with, they change you forever, huh? They do. You can't help it. You love them. You love them. Maybe you don't act like it all the time, but you do. You're committed to them. You love them. You care about them. And they work things into your life without you even realizing it. It comes with a relationship. Now let me take it one step further. What happens if your relationship with Jesus deepens? What happens when you come close to the Almighty, the Creator of the universe, the King of love and grace and peace and rest? You will be changed. And the reason you're not being changed is because you're knocking on the wrong doors. You need to go knock on Jesus' door. You need to go knock on God's door. And you need to start communing with Him. You need to get close to Him. I'm not talking about a concept. I'm not talking about an idea. I'm talking about a person. Jesus Himself is still alive and wants to commune with His people today. I'm telling you that I have tasted of God. I have walked with Him. I have experienced Him close to me. I've sensed Him near into my heart, seeking Him and spending time. I see and experience Him at levels I've never experienced before in my life through His Word, through time and prayer, and it changes the person. If a person comes in contact with a train, are they going to be changed? Yes, they're going to be dead. You want to know who's bigger than a train? God. You come in contact with Him and forget it. We're going to have a people who love and serve one another. You want to know why the church in America doesn't love and serve one another? Say, do not come in contact with God. We come into this place, we sing some songs, we listen to some stuff, and we go away and we don't experience Him. We're not getting close to Him. My greatest prayer for you, Legacy, is that you would get alone with God. I know that if you do, you'll be changed forever. All of my preaching will not be in vain. It will go deep into your veins. It will go deep into your heart. It will change you. You come in contact with the One who made you, and you'll be changed forever. Ask, seek, and knock for more of God. Knock on God's door, please. Get knocking on His door. Point number two, your Father will say yes to what is best. Your Father in heaven will say yes to what is best for your life. Verse 9, take a look at the text. He says, which one of you, if he has a son, asks him for bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are what? What does it say, church? Evil. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Wow. If you who are evil, did Jesus just call me evil? Yes. Why is He calling you evil? Because there's still sin in these veins. That's why I'm bald, okay? I hate sin because it made me bald. I'm telling you, in heaven I'll have an afro out to here. I'm not joking. I will go from afro to surfer hair like every other day just to enjoy the bliss of the glorified body. Look, sin is breaking down our bodies, isn't it? We can see it outwardly. And we will die. We weren't made to die. We were made to live forever. But sin infested our body and it infested our spirit and soul. And we were dead and we are evil. Thus we do wrong on the earth. And the only remedy for that is Christ. If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. Parents in here. You know, if your kid asks for some bread, you're like, here's a brick. Hey, Dad, can I have some of that fish? Can I have some sushi? Let me give you a snake, poisonous snake. You wouldn't do that. If you who are evil know how to give good gifts at Christmas time and birthdays, how much more? Is God evil? No. He's perfect, righteous, and holy. If he is perfect, righteous, and holy, how much more does he know how to give good gifts? Would you say good gifts with me, please? Good gifts. One more time, please. Good gifts. How much more will he give good gifts, good things to those who ask? So I want to ask you today, when God says no to something, what is he doing? He is stopping you from receiving what is not good for your life. When he says yes to something, he is giving you the good gift. Do you see that? Lord, Ferrari, 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 please. No. Lord, come on. No. God should say no, and we should ask him to say no. We should pray prayers like this. Lord, I want this, but not my will, but yours be done. Say no, Lord, if this is not what you want. I want what you want because Father wants what is best for me. The Father will say yes to what is best. Psalm 84:11. I love this verse. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does God withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing. Will he ever withhold from those who walk uprightly? God's only going to bring the good things into your life. Psalm 34:10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Good thing has been mentioned 3 times already. God has nothing but good for you, nothing but good. It may not look good to you now, but it is. It's the best. It's exactly what he wants. It may be persecution. It may be trial and tribulation. It may be suffering. It may be pain. You say, I don't like that. But God is saying, my ultimate plan is good for you. It's like trying to give a child vegetables, isn't it? They don't want to eat that. I don't like that. I'm not going to eat that. But you need to. This is good for you. And they don't want it. It's like trying to get somebody to work out and be healthy. We don't want that, but it's very good, isn't it? It's really good. There's pain, suffering involved on that treadmill. Pain and suffering involved in eating right and not eating those Twinkies and ding-dongs all the time. So good. Little foil wrapper. Legacy, God knows what's best for you. Your Father loves you, and he is always giving you what is best. Are you going through a trial today? Are you struggling through something? Are you in the midst of something heavy? Would you just ask the question, is this the best thing for me? Maybe you shout at the top of your lungs, absolutely not. I know this isn't good. Hold off. Hold on. Go and talk to somebody who's lived a little bit longer. Go talk to somebody who's been walking with God for 40, 50, 60 years and ask them about the troubles and the trials and tribulations maybe that they've had to gone through in life and what God did in those moments. When you go to Joseph, you say, Joseph, how was prison for 20 years? Why did that happen? He says, while I was in it, it was difficult. But I didn't know God was making me king of Egypt. When Moses was in the desert for 40 years by himself, trying to figure out what to do after he just murdered a man, God was humbling him because he was about to exalt him to lead millions of people and become the meekest man on the earth. When Peter fell and rebelled against the Lord and denied him 3 times, the darkest moment in his life is Jesus was being led to the cross. And as he sees him from a distance being led to the cross, all of a sudden Jesus and Peter's eyes lock in that moment. And it says Peter runs and he weeps bitterly because he knows what he's done. Little did he know, in the darkest moment in his life, Jesus was bringing forth something amazing. He would bring forth a disciple that would lead the church and go to the cross himself. God is doing something in our suffering. He's doing something in our pain. C.S. Lewis says that God's megaphone is pain. He shouts to us in our pain. Isn't that amazing? Why is it that when everything is so good, we don't have the best ears for the Lord, but when everything is crushing us, all of a sudden, we see that God is near to the brokenhearted. Romans 8:28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. All things for those who are called according to his purpose. What are you doing here in church again today? Sounds like you're called according to his purpose because the Holy Spirit will just not let you go. You remain coming to hear the words of God and have them spoken into your life. He has good things in store for you, even in the midst of your storms and trial and tribulation. What was the darkest moment ever on the earth? Do you remember? The darkest moment ever? The darkest moment ever was the day that God Almighty poured out the sins of the world on his sinless Son. It's worse than anything that's ever happened in the universe. The sinless, perfect Son who has done nothing to deserve the wrath and hell of God. God dumps hell on his Son for all these people. How much hell did Jesus take upon himself so you don't have to go there? He drank down the cup that would have taken an eternity to be poured out on us. Think that through. It's unreal. And in that moment of darkness, what was God doing? The darkest moment in the universe, he was bringing forth the most beautiful thing. Is God doing that in your life today? Is God moving in our nation like that? Why does he have to bring such tragedy and allow so much darkness to come upon us just to open our eyes so that we can see? Jeremiah 29:11, God says this, I know the plans I have for you. I know them. You're like, what are the plans, Lord? What are you doing? He says, they are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Those are God's plans for you. So even in the midst of your trial, know this, if God is saying no to something, it's because he loves you. And if God is saying yes to something, it's because he loves you. He knows what's best for you. Your Father will say yes to what is best. Keep knocking on God's door. Point number three, if God says no, write this down. If God says no, continue to grow. Please. If God says no to your situation, would you commit to committing to grow? Keep knocking, keep seeking him. He has something for you. It's the parable in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, if you want to look it up, it's verses 5 to 10. There's your homework. How much are you to keep knocking? Go home and read this passage, and you'll find out. Jesus tells a story of a couple who are there in their home, and a friend comes in from town, or out of town. They're late at night, and it's like 12 o'clock at night, and you have nothing to feed your friend. You got no bread for him. So you're like, well, oh, we got no bread in the house, so let's go next door and see if we can get some bread real quick, you know, so we can feed our friend who's come in from a long journey. So you go over to your friend's house and you start knocking, right? It's like 12:01, and there you are laying in bed. You're the person in that house, knocking, 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 and your friend looks at the clock. He's like, 12:01, I'm not getting up. Go home. No bread here. Or no, you do the silent thing first. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody comes to your door, you don't want to answer the door, you know, and you're like, did they hear us? Did they see us? Close up the drapes real quick, you know. Don't walk around too heavy, they'll hear you. Keep knocking, and you're like, that's it. Go home. We don't have any bread. Please go home. You keep knocking, you keep knocking, you keep knocking. Guess what? That person will eventually open the door because they're fed up with your persistence. And they will throw bread in your face and say, get out of here, please. I'm trying to sleep. I got to be up early. And Jesus, you know where that comes? You know where that passage comes on? It comes on the heels of Luke chapter 11, the first half of it there, which is where they say, Lord, teach us to pray. And then right after he teaches them how to pray, he gives this picture, knocking on someone's door, asking for bread. If the Lord says no, when he opens the door, he must have something better. It's time to grow and just keep knocking every day. You shouldn't get discouraged, church. Don't be like the world who says, I tried God. I knocked on his door one time and he said no to me, so I walked away. What? That's not a relationship. And that's not wanting what God wants in your life. That's wanting what you want. That's you being God over your life. It's time to grow and just keep on knocking every single day. I want to ask you, church, how often do you knock on God's door? How often do you go to him? Is it once a week? Is it twice a week? Do you really knock on his door individually, by yourself, with the Lord? Are you knocking? I know as long as I wake up each day and knock on the Lord's door, he will open and give to me what I need each day. He will tell me what to do. He will show me the way to life. I know a man or woman who keeps knocking on the door of God every single day will be guided perfectly, and I will have to do very little guiding in their life. They will find the way because they're seeking the Lord in prayer, knocking on his door. They're seeking the Lord in his word. They will be guided. Enoch is one of my favorite Bible characters. Do you know who Enoch is? If you want to take a look at him, it's back in Genesis chapter 5. Let me just read who he was. Are you ready? Just a couple verses. Just listen. Genesis 5, verse 21, says Enoch had lived 65 years. Okay, so he's a 65-year-old man, 65 years old. Watch this. He fathered Methuselah. Methuselah is the oldest man to ever walk the earth. 969 years, I believe. He fathered Methuselah. Verse 22 says, Enoch walked with God. Did you hear that? Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years. He's 65 years old. He gets saved. He starts walking with God. He believes on God. Something happens where he comes into a relationship with the Almighty, and it says for 300 years he just walks with God. Now watch this. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. That's his whole life. 65 years has Enoch. He walks with God 300 years, and this is what happens. Verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him off the earth. What? The text says that Enoch built a giant church. No. The text says that Enoch stopped poverty. No. The text says he was one of the most rich and famous people on the earth. Uh-uh. The text says that he walked with God for 300 years. He just walked with him every single day. I love that picture because it's not running, it's not dragging, it's just walking with God daily. 365 days a year for 300 years. And God said this, hey Enoch, you know, we hang out and we walk every single day on the earth. Why don't you just come on up here? And it says that he took him off the earth. Enoch never faced death because God took him. It's a miracle for sure. It's a picture that I love because I can do that. I think I can walk with God today, and I think I can walk with God one more day tomorrow. All I got to do is go knock on his door, ask him if he wants to go for a walk. Hey, Lord, you want to walk today? He's like, yeah, come on, let's go. Get up early. Spending time with the Lord, walking with him daily. It's simple. Walk with the Lord. Wake up in the morning. Go knock on his door. Seek him. Talk to him. Ask him. Listen to him daily in his word. Hear the Holy Spirit guide you throughout each day and each situation. And all that is good will come to you. All that is good will come to you. Nothing will be withheld from you. But if you choose not to walk with the Lord daily, guess what? You are going to find wrong every single day. Your sinful flesh will overtake you. You cannot say to me that you walk with God every single day, yet you live in sin. That makes no sense. It's one or the other. You will worship God or you'll worship other gods. You choose who you worship each day. I'll never forget Bill Ryder, my buddy in high school. I played quarterback in high school. He was one of my offensive linemen. Big guy. Bill was in my French class. And we used to sit there and we talk about stuff. Bill loved this guy. He was an atheist. I'll never forget one day he said to me, "Hey Josh," you know, because I used to bring my Bible to school. I'd set it on my desk and cause all kinds of ruckus, you know, in the classroom. And I was an idiot. Trying to do good. And Bill would always ask me these hard questions. He was an atheist. He's like, "Do you know that prayer only works," he read some article or something, "that prayer only works like 46% of the time?" I'm like, "Really?" Yeah, he says, "Yeah, prayer only works like 46% of the time. They say they've done statistics on people and, you know, God only answers prayers, 46% of the time." And the wisdom of God came somehow, and I said, "What? God can't say no? No is an answer. It's not the answer we want. No is an answer, and I'm telling you, if you walk with your Father daily, He's going to tell you no sometimes, He's going to tell you yes sometimes, but God is always answering His people. He is not quiet, He is not silent. You ever see a child be told no, and they do it anyways, and then they hurt themselves? The classic, here's the classic. Don't run around the pool because it's wet, you're going to slip and fall, right? And they get up and they immediately, instinct kicks in, they want to run and, you know, and there they are on their back, they slip and fall and crying, and, "See, I told you, what are you doing? Don't do that. Don't touch that, that's hot, that's going to burn you." And they go do it anyways. Legacy, we are a depressed, bummed out, sad, hateful people because we do not listen to the Lord. The repercussions of not seeking your God daily are those symptoms. There is no way you're going to look me in the face and say, "A man who seeks and walks with the Lord daily is not content in himself, even if the world is falling on him." Look to Job, who lost everything, and then he says things like this: "The Lord gave and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." How do you get to that mindset? That's a man who worships and walks with God. Did he complain along the way? Yes, he did. And he still said some amazing, beautiful things. We're not perfect. But I'm telling you, if you're looking for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, you need to seek the Spirit of God. You need to be led by Him daily. It's the only way it's working. When God says no, don't run around the pool. When God says that hot, get away from it. Or you're going to destroy your life. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will reap. It will happen. Point number four, and I'll close in this. Pray what God will always say yes to. Legacy, please, would you be a people who just prays prayers that God always says yes to? What prayer is that? I'd start praying it right now. Good. I'm going to tell it to you. I'm going to share it with you. What prayer will God always say yes to? It's the thing that you need most. More of Him. A relationship, a deeper one with Him. In legacy, isn't that all that you need? Isn't that all that we need? Remember the problem? It's sin. That's what ruins all of our lives. What do we need? We need more of Jesus. We need more of Christ. Well, what's the problem here? We're not seeking more of Him. Why aren't we asking and seeking for more of Him? Jesus says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, and these doors will be opened. I know you're struggling. I know it's difficult. But if you keep asking, keep seeking, I will open that door. I have good things and good gifts for you. You need to understand that all that you need is found in God. All of it. All that we need and long for is found in God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. You got to write this one down if you can. This one blew my mind when it came into this sermon. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power has granted to us all things regarding life. I got a bunch of things I need for life. Check. And godliness. Check. All those things that you need in life and all those things that you need in godliness are found in a closer relationship with Jesus. What does this look like practically? Watch this. You got marriage problems. Go knock on God's door in prayer. Go knock on God's door in the Word. Go knock on God's door and look at the gospel. It shouts so many things to us. What about depression? Go knock on God's door in prayer. Go knock on God's door in the Word. And go look at the gospel. Just seeking Him will actually alleviate many of the problems and burdens on your life. Anxiety, worrying. Go knock on God's door and look into the eyes of the one who has everything perfectly under control. Are we to shout to Him, everything's in chaos? And He says, are you sure? Because everything is great on my end. Hatred. Are we going to look into the eyes of God and keep in a hatred heart towards other people? Yeah, right. You're going to look into the eyes of love and not have love for your neighbor, your enemy? Friendship and family problems, loneliness, finances, pain, grief, trials, problems. Maybe you struggle with the acceptance of others, insecurities. Why don't you go knock on God's door? Because all of that is answered when you lock eyes with Him. I'm telling you, it is as simple as getting quiet with God, whether it's in your room, in your car, or going out and taking a walk in the morning. You just need to go off by yourself on a hike, whatever it is, get alone with God and share with Him what's going on. Talk to Him about these things. Are we a people of prayer, or do we just say we pray and we think things in our minds, but we never actually commune with God? There's a superficial relationship in the church with God, and that is what is stopping us from moving forward. What about sin struggles, drugs, sex, alcohol? Go knock on God's door and seek Him. The more Jesus and God you have in your life, the more that sin will leave you. All of it is found in Him. Do you see it? You don't need a Lamborghini. They're fun, but you don't need one. You need Jesus. You need God. He is the only remedy. And so, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and it will be opened. What we need is to get knocking on God's door. Legacy, my prayer for you and the instruction for you this week, I challenge you, get alone with God for at least 30 minutes. 30 minutes. Alone with God, and watch this. I'm not talking about reading this for 30 minutes if you're not reading it to meet Him. If you're not reading it to be a door into the relationship with Him, it's not an intellectual exercise. This is to know Him more. I can't just read a book about my wife and say that I know her and love her. That doesn't work. I have to commune. And so use this as a platform to understand and know Him, but get alone in prayer for 30 minutes. I dare you. Knock on God's door and see how your heart and mind is changed in whatever you're working through, whatever you're struggling through. Amen?